Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back here with my Preservative Talk Radio. It's my Faith and Freedom show. We're going to talk about the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. You can give me a call, 888-248-2046. That's toll-free, 888. Dial 1, of course, 248-2046. Promise that when I came back from the break, was going to talk about something I found in the Chattanoogan.com today. Long history of redistribution of wealth. We hear so much about redistribution of wealth as if it's a bad word, huh? It's a, what's horrible? Redistribution of wealth. And some of you are going to say, okay, what's, who cares? Let's hear what this guy say. I think this, I won't tell you what my opinion is. Let's get to this. There is considerable argument today in the public concerning redistribution of wealth. This is what this article says. These people, I guess those who talk about redistribution of wealth, these people claim that paying taxes is a form of redistribution of the wealth, and this, they argue, is un-American and should not be part of public policy. Well, right away, a little warning flag popped up for me, because paying taxes is not redistribution of wealth. Now, using taxation as a machinery for the purpose of redistribution of wealth, I think, is exceeding the authority of government. That would be tyrannical. And we're going to be teaching those kind of things here on the show. It's immoral. All right? But if you're, you know, I mean, part of this, I think people have good intentions. I think it's a matter of education. We have been steeped. I know, being raised in Southern California, I mean, look at what's happening in that state. I've left, okay? I expatriated from California as a teenager, joining the military. But we're being taught, I guess, very incrementally and slowly. Our minds are being changed through, of course, the education system, the media system, and the Marxist plan of undermining and separating the family ties that bind. Encourage, hey, kick your kids out. They're 18, they should be on the street. Why? Based on what? Constitutionally? Biblically? Common law? Come to me with common law, we'll talk about it. Is it 18 that they should be kicked out? Maybe it's 16, 15, 14, 13. Maybe at their bar mitzvah they can be kicked out. Who knows? Maybe 25. Now the current people want your kids into your household till they're 26 and in on the insurance program. Is that what it should be? What's the standard? Those are the kind of things we're going to review here in Preservative Talk Radio. Just, we're the third day into this, essentially the third hour. The ninth, or out of, no, let's see, one, two, three, six, seven, the eighth 15-minute segment. It's a re-education program of Preservative Talk Radio. 888-248-2046. These people claim that paying taxes is a form of redistribution of wealth, and this, they argue, is an un-American, should not be part of the public policy. There is a long, now this is a statement again, continuing from this article. There is a long history of redistribution of wealth in the United States. Now, question, if there's a long history, does that make it a right? Is it a good if it has a long history? In fact, most of the eastern seaboard states were built upon the idea of redistribution of wealth. Now, hopefully, you know, I notice here in this article there's no footnote with a reference substantiating this conclusion statement. Okay. This is the history of our country, and although many may disagree with this problematic fact of our history, to ignore the facts are pure insanity. Well, now they're insulting my person. They would right now get a red card on the soccer field or on the volleyball court, because they just told me I was insane because I don't believe their facts are straight. But so let's just say this. There's opinion here is that there's a long history of redistribution of wealth in the United States, so on and so forth. Well, I'm a critical thinker, and I would grade this paper as a teacher from a just considering logic, that I would probably not give it a great grade as for if it were a writing project, and I would have great things for the writer to have to consider when putting his sentences and trying to prove his thesis. When America was still being settled, the kings of England, France, and Spain had already drawn up legal title to all the land in the United States. Okay. Let's just say they claimed land. In fact, what they did, there's a little bit more to that. They blessed certain areas for themselves and announced it to their fellow countries. Hey, by the way, we're taking dominion here in these certain places, and all Christian peoples will be under this, under the king's peace, will have protection within these boundaries. So, when America was still being settled, the kings of England, France, and Spain had already drawn up legal title to all the land in the United States. Depending on where you lived, the king was the authority in granting land rights. There's more to it. What happens? This writer doesn't understand that land is something that you get, is something that you go subdue. It's biblical. It does go back to that, be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. Take dominion over it. You can take dominion over land. Whether or not a king gives you protection in that land is a whole different issue. It's a different issue of law completely. In North Carolina, for instance, three subjects of the King of England were granted all the land in North Carolina west of the Smoky Mountains. That land is now known as Tennessee, but during the frontier days, Tennessee was a very dangerous place for immigrants. During the Revolutionary War, soldiers were promised cash payment for their services. Many of the states refused to raise taxes on their citizens to pay for the Revolutionary War. Under the Articles of the Confederacy that they're probably talking about here, but there's no footnote. So those veterans who were owed money were given land west of the mountains. Land titles were not always recognized. Now, watch this. This is where the shift occurs. We were talking about this yesterday. We were talking about what land is yours and what land do you really have a right to. It's the land that you possess. And you could have title. It's kind of like the first rights to something is having title. And it shows that you have an interest in the community. You pay taxes. You're part of that commonwealth. But let's say, how do you really own and how do you really obtain and possess land? Let's see what this person who's writing this editorial believes, that it was kind of because somebody told you it was yours. But watch what they say when you begin to lose it because somebody starts investing in it. Here we go. Land titles were not always recognized in the change of governments from being a British colony and being the United States. Often, more than one veteran was given the title of the same spot of land in Tennessee Territory. The veterans had to fight two wars to get their pay, the British and then the Native Americans. This is a little bit, again, if I was going to give this a English grade, I'd probably give them a little feedback about how to structure these paragraphs. Okay, but here it is. They go on, due to the agricultural needs. Now, listen to what they think. This is what they believe that why the land was distributed. They're actually in error. Due to the agriculture needs, our courts developed a legal theory. Our courts developed a legal theory? That placed a high premium on land development, especially agriculture. I don't know where he gets this conclusion. The courts recognize squatters' rights, he has in quotes, and cultivation rights. Okay. If you understand the biblical principle about taking dominion, you already understand squatters' rights and cultivation rights. You don't have to try to figure it out by evolutionary observance, scientific, empirical observance. This guy may have a worldview that comes from his experience because of lack of information. And again, I'm not going to mention the person's name. No critical thing about their character, but we're looking at a worldview and how things are communicated and how things are thought about. It sounded really good unless you had some information and actually a biblical worldview of what property is. So due to the agricultural needs, our courts developed a legal theory that placed a high premium on land development, especially agriculture. Courts recognized squatters' rights and cultivation rights. If you erected a cabin on a spot of land you didn't own, you could claim cabin rights. Okay? It's because you took dominion and you possessed the property. Somebody else may still be farming it around your cabin. They're making the right use of the land because they've taken dominion. So be it. If you cultivated an acre of corn on land you didn't own, you were granted cultivation rights with the addition of 15 acres for every acre of crop planted. A prevailing idea in the country was that no one person could hold up progress. Stop. Hello, We're re-educating our children here. Listen what he tells us the idea. I've already, before reading this, I explained what the idea was. The idea, take dominion. You take possession of the land. In fact, if you read the things that the founders of this country, those who were framing the property boundaries of Tennessee, you know, when it was North Carolina, they had an understanding of a biblical worldview and property rights. And it had to do with your exercising dominion. It wasn't progress. It wasn't what does the collective society determine they're going to do with the land. It had to do with understanding how you obtain property. If you'd like to know the theories of property, what you need to do is you read this guy in 1689 was published technically, I mean, right around 1689, John Locke and his treatise on government. And he goes in depth about what property is. And those who framed the country that were educated in that understood something completely different than this editorial. And there was a debate about, in the courts, they were trying to figure out, in some cases, when you had a dispute, say a guy shoots a deer and somebody finds the deer before the shooter found it, whose property is it? There's a wonderful debate over that in John Locke's Treatise on Government. You can read it, have a good time. But the idea was that labor, that your investment, that you're taking dominion over the property, because it ultimately is God's, and he's allowed us to take property right. If it's a right thing to do, if that property in the use of my hands is the right thing to do. That's really the theory. Now, he doesn't understand this. He's actually telling people things of what he believes. And well, let's go back to the statement. If you were cultivating an acre of corn in your own land, blah, 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 prevailing idea in the country was that no one person could hold up progress. That was not the theory behind it. He's telling you that's why these squatters' rights were provided. No one person could hold up progress. People had to be fed and the wilderness had to be settled. Land was practically free for the taking. The approach used by the leader, I'm just going to stop there here because we're going to, I'll just read this next part here real shortly. The approach used by the leadership of our country to redistribute the wealth was no accident. It was well thought out and it is a part of our legal heritage. Now, were they redistributing the wealth? Is that what they were doing? Were they having to, you know what they weren't? They weren't redistributing the wealth. They were not redistributing it. What they were doing was, here's property. And everybody has an interest in the property if they would like to take and venture and do something with it. And yes, it would say, hey, let's protect the meanest individual in the language of our founders. That meant the weakest individual from the insults and the injuries of the greater people. So if there was somebody of great wealth that, you know, there were some limits that they couldn't just go buy it all up and gob it all up, that they would determine who's got the chutzpah, who's got the dominion inspiration. Let's go out there and here's your 160 acres of land. Now, you've got to do something. You've got to have improvements. It wasn't for progress. The improvements are evidence of dominion. That's what they are, the total purpose of that. And you can find that throughout law. I've got American jurisprudence sitting on my shoulder, just within inches of my shoulder. It was sitting on my shelf, I'm sorry. Is the whole purpose was to say who's willing to apply themselves to take dominion. You know, freedom isn't free. It takes, as Calvin Coolidge stated, unremitting effort to maintain your freedom, to maintain your property right. And so what you do with your property comes down to, of course, loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself and being fruitful and multiplying those things that you lay your hand to. So I'm David Allen Carmichael. The number here, if you've got a comment on this, of course, give me a call. Toll free, 888-248-2046. 888-248-2046. I'd love to hear what you think. Sounds a little bit antagonistic, a little bit cynical, but either way, one way or the other, we've got to challenge our thoughts and minds and try to get back to the truth and see what it is on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong.